a bite-sized chunk of your favourite show, the Tom, Lingy and Loggy podcast.
And it's been a couple of weeks, so we should probably get our favourite country musician back on the air on the show. Casey Barnes, morning.
Good morning, guys. How you going?
Good, thanks. Are you still in Tamworth?
Literally just got home late last night after a week down there, and it was a blast. It was bloody hot, but it was a lot of fun.
Can you tell us, like, a week in Tamworth at the Country Music Festival, does it feel like a month? Like, is it just everything happening, big, big nights?
If it doesn't feel like a month, then you're doing something wrong. So it's unlike any festival that we have in the country. It's just so much fun. There's, like, every single night, it's like you wish you could clone yourself and be in about, you know, half a dozen different places. So, you know, like the night we played, it might be Ian Moss in another venue and Daryl Braithwaite and Troy Cassidaly somewhere else. And, like, it was just such a great week, and we always have a good time.
Absolutely epic. Absolutely epic. You played a sold-out show there, which is huge, but also you've got this song that you've won awards for. You got that kind of love that makes me know it's true. When heaven dreamt you up, God took his time on you. So you've already had awards sort of flung your way for God Took His Time on You, but you had a new thing presented to you. Tell us, what did you get this week for God Took His Time on You?
Oh, mate, never in my wildest dreams did I think this would happen. And really, it's thanks to you guys for playing it on radio and everyone listening, for going out and listening to it and downloading it and buying my albums. I got my first ever certified ARIA gold record for that song.
Yeah. So, yeah. Congratulations.
Well done.
It's not a Brownlow. It's not a Premiership Cup. But I'll take it. I'll take it.
So, well deserved.
That was pretty good.
Congratulations.
And you were both looking the goods, you and your lovely wife as well. It's probably the first time I've seen you covered up. I was like, where are his arms? Normally you've got them out. And that's why, I'll admit, why I chased you down for a little interview, Case. And I'm so glad that you're here, because you are known as a guy that in your workplace you wear singlets, and that's because you strum like no one's strummed before and you get sweaty up there, right? Anyway, your singlets are an appropriate length under the armpit. And I sent you a little video before this interview of what Tom wore to work last week in an air-conditioned workplace, and it was not appropriate. Thoughts on that one, Casey?
I love it. I think it's great.
And
if you've got the guns to pull it off, like I've seen in the video, you don't hide those away.
I'm
going to take my shirt off now, Casey.
Mate, do it. Do it. You've got to be proud. I think it only gets awkward when, this is a true story, Wednesday night I wore like my normal singlet on stage, and it was very loose. It was very hot. I reckon I probably lost about 5 kilos of sweat on stage. Like, it was one of those shows. I've come off at the end and putridly, like, drenched. It's disgusting. And normally I'll change. Like, I'll go and get changed and then come out and, you know, do a meet and greet with everyone and sign some stuff. And I forgot. And this lady was, like, dead set wanted to have my singlet. And I'm just like, why would you want to take this home with you? Like, I'll just leave that with your listeners. That's not pleasant at all. So, but no, I reckon if you could, yeah, mate, those guns, you got to do it.
But, okay, so I understand. Tom really appreciates your support. Log and I both think that your workplace is appropriate to wear what you wear.
Yeah.
Tom, not so much. But Log alluded to this before. Your singlets have an appropriate length under the arms. So you're not showing like complete rib and almost down to the hip.
Yeah.
Did you think Tom showed a bit much?
Well, once you start getting into the side boob sort of territory, that's probably where you draw the line. And yeah, look, I think that's a fair point. That is a fair point.
I've got a picture here of you on stage. There's a fair bit of side boob going on.
No, not as much
there.
As yours, Tom.
He looks good.
Also, Casey, hey. Casey, can I just let you know that Tom goes to the gym each and every morning, which is amazing. Good on him, whatever. Anyway, and he came into work, changed out of a gym singlet into that specific singlet.
That I don't have a problem with that either.
No, I can't get him. I just can't.
That's essentially what he does after he gets off stage. You know me. I throw everything into every show that we do, and I walk out of this studio dripping sweat every morning.
You've picked the wrong bloke to talk to. I'm sorry.
depends what side of the fence you're on. All right. Well, Case, congrats on the gold record, mate. Super proud of you and the sold out show in Tamworth as well. And what's next? What's coming next?
Geez, look, a fair bit. We're about to announce the album pretty soon, but we're coming down to Victoria, playing in Bendigo in March for the big meat stock, which that's a whole other conversation. But that's, if you like meat, if you like meat and you like country music, then you're going to be in heaven. So that's happening in March, and then we're off to America to play Stagecoach, which is the biggest country music festival in the world. So that's going to be huge. We can't wait for that.
Should we come to you with that one? I reckon we should come along.
Bendigo?
Bendigo or America?
No, to Stagecoach. Should we follow you?
It's like Morgan Wallen, Willie Nelson, Post Malone, the Beach Boys. It's huge. It's going to be massive. Right. Yeah.
Okay. I'm there.
We're there.
All right. Well, Case, thanks so much for your support and for your time this morning. We'll catch up with you again real soon, mate.
No worries, guys. Thank you.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Listen live weekdays at 6 a.m. on KROQ 955 or online at krock.com.au.
Okay, I want to give you two the scenario that happened to me on the weekend. Travelling over to Sorrento for one of Dodsy's best friend's 40th birthdays. And I want to know what you would do in this situation. Mm. Okay? So we went on the ferry.
Mm-hmm.
Ferry, Queenscliff to Sorrento, so good,
it's
by the way.
It's very convenient, isn't
it? Yeah. Very good, Tommy. But it is brilliant. So we've driven on, done the drive on, we booked our ticket, drove on, and they really cram the cars in. They fit them all in there. They do it really well. Mm. And so we're in, pretty tight to the other cars next to you.
Mm. Yeah.
Now, the car is made up of me driving, Dodds in the passenger seat, birthday girl, 40th birthday girl in the back seat, mm. and another best friend of that crew.
Mm. She head out the skylight, the sky roof, whatever that is, the sunroof.
Sunroof is the word I was looking for.
Drive along, hold a bottle of champers.
Cowgirl hat sort of arrangement.
No, that was later at the Sorrento pub.
Okay.
And we're in there. And I'm thinking, okay, so now we can get out of the car because we've all moved in. But some people stay sitting in their cars.
Mm.
Others sort of get out slowly and then head upstairs and grab a coffee or whatever. I've got out and I've thought, just be careful. Car's right next to us, so I've got out. I'm standing there, basically staring back at my car plus the car next to us, just waiting for the others to get ready. Birthday girl. 40th birthday girl is in the back seat on the same side as me, driver's side, has opened the door like she's parked in a paddock with not a single car for 150 kilometres around her.
No.
Bang! Straight into the car next to us. The occupants of the car next to us are still sitting inside their car.
Oh,
so
God.
It would have felt quite loud to them.
I was going to say, you can't really drive off, can you?
No. And you can't really do the quick look. Oh, no scratch. Let's move on with our day. Yeah. Not that I would ever do that, Tommy.
No.
but it was so there was a dint?
Tiny, tiny little chip.
Okay.
In the door. It was there, but it was tiny. But the moment that it's gone bang, they've just looked straight at me.
Yeah.
You're not even near the car.
No, I'm standing there and I had got out of the driver's side and they're just staring at me and I'm like, mouth open. And I'm mouthing the words, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Even though I've done nothing.
You're admitting guilt.
There was total guilt from our side of things. Mm. Anyway, so got out, they've checked out the car, they're a bit annoyed because they're heading off for probably a nice weekend away as well. I'm going, what do we do? To her credit, birthday girl said, my fault, I'll go and have the chat. She goes, it was stupid, I wasn't even thinking. They've started talking and they've kind of, the other party have said, well, it's the driver's responsibility.
Why?
I don't know.
Because they know you're Cameron Ling.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, go where the money is.
Deep pockets, yeah.
Birthday girl's gone, no, I stupidly did it. I'll do it. What are you thinking? they said, well, I don't want to go through insurance, all that, it's all hassle, everything like that. What if you just give us $600?
$600?
Oh. To cover the cost of the fixing. $600. Now, birthday girl has gone, bit steep.
Yeah.
But I'm in the wrong, completely my fault. Understand you're going to have to get a little bit of work done there. What about $200?
Yeah.
Does that sound about right?
Does anybody have any sort of scope for, like, because I don't know how much it costs to fix chips on a car.
No.
I think maybe it's like also they probably wouldn't get it fixed, but it's like payment for kind of ruining my car.
Yeah, just being super annoying.
Yeah.
Anyway, they landed at a figure just above what Birthday Girl offered,
yeah.
Well below what they offered. They came to a conclusion, They kind of want a cash straight up.
Oh, yep.
Then, of course, not a lot of people carry cash, certainly not in those amounts. Mm. So Birthday Girl's gone, well, I'll transfer money across. Now, she's been living in America for 8 years, doesn't have an Australian bank account.
Oh, okay.
So she's come back to the friends and said, hey, by the way, can you transfer this money across to these people we've never met before?
And I'll pay you back.
And I'll pay you back.
Yeah.
All sorted. What would you have done?
I would feel, if it was me, I would feel mortified as well. And if they said 600, I know what I'm like. I'd probably be like, oh, yeah, and then hate myself for the rest of my life. But I think it's the right thing for them to say, hey, let's just give me some cash. 600's ridiculous. What did she pay in the end?
250.
250. All right. I think 250 is even a little steep. I would say, here's 200 cash, take it or leave it.
Ooh, so you're a good negotiator.
But not if I'm me. If I'm me in a fake world.
Yeah.
Me in the real world probably, wouldn't.
But you in the real world would have $200 cash.
Oh, obviously. Cash is king.
I would panic, throw it in reverse and end up in the bay.
Just push all the cars out of the fair.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Listen live weekdays at 6 a.m. on K-Rock 955 or online at krock.com.au.
Now, we did this last week, the two of us. Without you, Lingy.
Yes.
But for the first time, who won?
Yeah.
Tom. Was it me? It was me.
Well, probably.
You won lyrical. I won this.
Sure.
Okay.
Anyway.
Doesn't really matter.
For the first time with the whole compliment, the whole team this year, let's play.
This is it. Guess the year.
Let's play Geelong Surf Coast and the Bellarine's favourite Tuesday base game. The good thing about you not being here last week was it's sort of like a
dry run.
Well, yeah, just a little. So all my spiels, I had to get back in the zone to be able to do all my spiels before all our segments.
I thought you were going to say it was a quality battle between you two.
Well, that too.
Always.
Dead weight Lingy over here. Doesn't go real well at these games.
At the end of it, I did say I would look forward to you being back next week so we could give you a real flogging. But you never know. Stranger things have happened. Where's my pen and piece of paper? Because I need it. We're going to play little bits of songs, write them down. Little bits of songs. Wait, hang on.
If you had just gone without all the extra, you would have been okay.
We're going to play little bits of songs, cast our minds back through the mist of time, try and remember where we were, what we were doing the first time we heard that song. Give us a fair indication as to what year it was released. We write that down on a piece of paper.
Mm. Yes.
It's closest to without going over in the traditional Price is Right fashion.
Love you, Larry.
Best of three arrangement. I think we're ready to play. Are you ready to play, everybody?
Yeah, let's go.
Question number one for guess the year.
Dancing on a table at Frostbite's nightclub.
Okay.
Ooh. Oh, that puts you at 19 years of age, which... what year were you born again? Okay, got it.
Is this a new thing you're doing this year? Like, talking it through?
Talk through the memories of the song, but not how you get to the year.
Little discussion with myself. My maths wasn't great.
All right, I've written something down. Has everybody written something down?
Yep.
Yeah.
3, 2, 1.
2003.
Oh, 3, 3, 4. Here we go.
The year was 2007.
Yes.
Oh, so that's a point to you because you said 2004. Okay,
yeah, I dance on tables even now.
Yeah, you're a little old to be dancing on tables in 2007.
Well, it just takes so long to get up.
I'm scared. I don't like heights.
Oh, God, someone help me. Just get around the back and push.
All right.
Question number two. Yeah. Is it too late now to say sorry? 'Cause I'm
missing more than just your body. Who is it?
Crying. Mm-hmm. Townsville.
Who is it?
Yeah.
Hey, can you, it's the Jonas Brothers.
Yeah, come on, Cameron Lee.
Is it? Who is it?
It's Lady Gaga.
No, it's not.
It's Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. Yeah, no, it's Justin Bieber.
Oh, really? Okay, I got it then. I know exactly when this is.
Okay.
Then yeah, Biebs are tight.
Oh, no, hang on. I'm changing.
Okay, what year did Justin Bieber's Sorry come out? All right, here we go. 3, 2, 1.
2014.
You and I again, Lingy. Yeah. What is going on? Stop copying me stuff. Here we go.
The year was 2015.
Oh, we'll take a point for that.
Got a game on our hands.
All right, so this is a tiebreaker. Anyone can win from here. Question number 3. Hosier.
Yes.
Take me to church.
But,
okay. Yes, I know that one.
Oh, I love
as
the
in,
sass talk.
You've heard the song before? Oh, or?
Yeah, it's rare.
All right. Okay, here we go. 3, 2, 1.
2013.
Damn.
13, 16, 17. Let's find out.
The year was 2013.
Mm. Oh.
On the nose, Tom Lewis.
Tommy.
It's a Tommy win.
Thank you very much.
Well done, 2 from 2.
Thanks, mate. Let's keep score, actually.
No, we're not keeping score because no one cares. It is lame.
It is wonderful for us, though, in terms of bragging rights. And okay.
Guess the year scorecard officially in my book.
Yes.
Tom, yes, the year.
Tom 2.
Did you say
log
yes, the year?
0. Oh, and me, of course, 0.
Okay. Thanks, Lee. I don't know if I trust you to keep score, but we'll do for now. And we'll play again next week.
Tom, Lingy, and Loggy. Listen live weekdays at 6 a.m. on KROQ 955 or online at krock.com.au.
Be aware. Be aware because this could happen to you or you. Maybe not you. Currently, you don't normally deal with this sort of stuff, but car keys. So mum came over to visit me last week, which was lovely. And every time she comes, man, she's such a beautiful human, but it's like, just if you want to pop over, you don't need to bring around presents and gifts. What I mean? We always get like a bag. We always get like a tray full of fresh produce from Dad, right?
Oh, yeah. You keep bringing that around.
Yeah, yeah. And it hasn't made its way to you yet. But then, you know, she'll be like, oh, I just went to my ballerine kitchen and got you a cake because I know you like their cakes or, you know, whatever. And she's like, oh, and I saw these socks the other day and I thought, oh, they
is it because she feels sorry for you?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're so poor.
Yeah. And so, yes, she came around and we had a really nice arvo together and whatever, and we were in the backyard and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, then she left and then it's all good and she got home back to Werribee and she's like, oh, just realised something.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I've taken your car keys home with me.
Good, thanks,
Mum. Because she has a Mazda and I have a Mazda and both of us don't have key rings. Okay, I have a key ring that's got a little Harry Potter. It says Harry Potter because I had the Deathly Hallows sign that spun and then it broke, right? Sad, I lost it. But that's all I've got. I've got no key ring on it. So it just looks like a... And because we have the same keys, because I've got her house key, my sister Kim's house key and my house key on the keys. It kind of looks really similar to hers. She took my car keys.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's okay. I've got a spare, right? But then my spare battery... was out. My spare car key didn't have the battery in it, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I've got a car that, you know, you can press a button and unlock. Yeah. But if you flick a little button, an actual key comes out of it, right?
Yeah.
The only thing is there's no keyhole in my Mazda.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it's just a start button, start and stop button.
So you use the key to open the door.
You use the key to open the door.
But not to
And then
start
Jimmy's
the
like, oh, your car's not starting because it's not recognising that the fob's there or whatever.
Yeah.
Because of no battery.
Yeah. And he was like, oh, well, we're not going to be able to use the car. And I'm like, woo back. Let me get out the manual, okay?
Mm.
And once I cracked the shits with that, I got on my phone and Googled it like
a
normal person.
And it
says that if you hold the fob, even if the battery's dead, you hold the fob near the start stop button.
Yeah.
And then it will work. Ah. And it did.
Does it also say there you have to whisper
vroom, vroom.
Yeah.
And then boom, ticks over.
It goes, yeah.
Yeah.
No, no, it did. It did. So just be careful. If maybe, you know, I need to get a key ring. Do we have any K-Rock key rings?
Do you need to get a battery?
Sure.
Yeah, I need to get a battery for that. But first I need a key ring.
Sorry, okay. I think it's wild. And Mazda need to look into the fact that your mum was able to drive her car home with your key. Like, how
she
does
also
that
had her key. She took both keys.
Double up.
The Tom, Lingy and Loggy podcast.
We've been talking about the fact on Christmas Day I had quite the scare, a health scare, and had an anaphylactic allergic reaction to something. I don't know what. I've got to get that tested. But the most likely culprit perhaps is shellfish, prawns that I ate on Christmas Day. Mm. I'm in the past 100% definitely not allergic to prawns. Mm. I have eaten so many prawns it is not funny, but maybe as an adult later in my life, I've become allergic to prawns.
To the point where you need to now carry an EpiPen with you at all times.
Yes, everywhere I go.
So when you leave the house, you have to go, all right, phone, keys, Winnie Blues, EpiPen. Is that right?
That's exactly right, Tommy. And it got us thinking, is this a common thing? What have you become allergic to later on in life that you never were through childhood, teenage years, you are now allergic to?
Mm. Let's go to Richard from Aries first. Good morning, Richard. Is it you or someone else that's got a new allergy?
It was me. I've actually grown out of it again. Quite weird. So exactly the same as Lingy. I love prawns and I ate prawns my whole life. And then all of a sudden, one night, I woke up and was covered in head to toe in hives.
Yeah.
Struggled breathing a bit, had to go to hospital. They fed me full of antihistamines. Anyway, I went through all the allergy testing and come up with a few of the regular things like grass and whatever. But I was actually allergic to the preservatives that they put in prawns to keep them fresher longer.
Right. Wow, okay. Richard.
And that's good for Lingy because he only eats the highest quality fresh caught,
like,
you know, fisherman to mouth.
Yes.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have said fisherman to mouth. That's a whole different thing.
Straight out of the beautiful waters around Aries Inlet there, Richard. Yeah. Thank you for that. Hey, that's great to know. We hadn't even considered that. Thanks, Richard.
Stacey's in Grovedale. Stacey, it was your husband that became allergic to something later in life?
Yeah, so he's become allergic to sesame.
Sesame?
So, we used to eat, like, the sesame snaps and stuff as snacks. And then, about June last year, we had falafel for dinner, and he had a full anaphylactic shock, ended up in hospital and everything, and has to have the EpiPen now.
Wow.
We have to check everything for containing sesame.
Yeah. And they're in everything.
Sesame's in everything, and the oil as well.
Well, is sesame classed as nuts, right-ish?
No, okay. No.
More of a seed.
Well, I was going to say, because you know how they like may contain nuts on like icy poles and stuff? And you're like, how? Like, just let people live.
Yeah, wow.
So just out of the blue, that's so crazy, isn't it? I can't believe it just, comes on. Jesse and Cario, what about you? Is it yourself that has become allergic?
No, it's my mother.
Oh, your mum. Tell us about it.
Yeah. She's allergic to yogurt.
Yogurt?
Just all of a sudden?
Yep.
So can she eat other milk or dairy products?
Yeah, it's like the yeast or something in yogurt.
And
so
can I
just gotta have an EpiPen?
Can I ask Jess what sort of age did she all of a sudden become allergic?
Mid 40s, early 50s.
Wow. So similar to you, Lingy.
Yeah. Right, <okay. laughs>
Lingy, when you had your yogurt facial on Christmas Day, do you think that it was freshly made?
Straight from fisherman to mouth.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Why don't you get this podcast again sometime? And listen on air at KROQ 955 weekday mornings from 6.